doesn't want to wear a mask, that's okay too, because we don't want anybody to get sick. So we're following the guidelines. And next week I will not be here, but Carolyn should be back. And Linda will be here. And I don't think there's any other announcements. Oh, the Chosen we're going to do, we don't know when. Whenever Ted gets strength back, and we got to praise the Lord because Ted is here. So that's exciting, and we pray that he gets better each week. So we decided instead of having potluck today, we're going to wait until we have the when we come back for the movie afterwards, and we'll have potluck then and then have the movie. So, how are we going to know when he's going to better? How are we going to know? We'll let you know. We can. At least the people that are that were there the last time and anybody else that we think wants to see. Right. So we're going to work on having it. So we will get there. We will get there. So we're thankful that we have that choice. All right. So with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, call to worship first. Let's stand to praise his name. And today it's Psalms 100, verse 2. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him, singing with joy. Amen. And we are going to sing with joy, and we have Susie is going to lead. Oh, and now I get to pray first. I'm not really off today. Okay, Heavenly Father, I just pray that you just calm me down. Please just let us focus on you. We just praise your name, Lord Jesus, and we just thank you that we are here to worship you. Father God, be with us as we sing praises to you, Lord. Let they be just music to your ears. And Father God, for each of the people that aren't here on vacation, whatever, we just pray for them. We pray that they have a safe trip home and that they come back and see us again. We just give you all the praise and glory in what you do in our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Since you're all standing, this is Substitute Teacher Day, which means, remember, you can do whatever you want. Yay! So since you're up, we're going to sing I'll Fly Away. Yay. So if can you play the PMP, play E? No. Okay. Some glad morning when the life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away. Glory, I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. job. Okay, so you can be seated. I know this is different, but y'all are going to learn a song. Probably already know it, but you get a chance to learn it while you're sitting down. Okay, it's called I Saw the Light. It's a little jumpy, so you might want to get your pacers, turn them up. Turn those pacers up. I saw the light. I don't think that's it. But that's a pretty song. We should learn that. Just sing what you can. Next, then maybe we might sing it again. And then you'll know it. You'll have her down. So sing whatever you can. Okay. When it's done. Ready? Yeah! Okay. I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered along. Worries and fears I claim for my own. Been like the blind man that God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, the sorrow is high. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool to wander and stray. Straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Wow! So you think you got it? You ready to do it again? We can do anything we want. It's Substitute Sunday. Okay, so now you have to stand. Yeah. Now you have to stand. Now you're getting the words, right?
Okay, yay. Okay.
Cool. Ready. A little louder. Okay. I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered along. Worries and fears I claim for my own. And like the blind man who God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, the sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was the fool to wander and stray. Straight is the gate and narrow the way. I have
traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, the sorrow is gone. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Wow! All right. You can sit in. Good job. Good job. Okay. Psalms chapter 27. I want to read a part of this for you. There's so much going on in the world, it's kind of scary. Like there's a war out there. There is. And it's not just, you know, in Afghanistan or something. It's here. And thank God that we have the Holy Spirit to guide us, protect us, keep us from making a fool out of ourselves 90% of the time. So, you know. Oh, yes, amen. I want to read this to you. This is just kind of cool. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of what or whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to endure and inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble shall he hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies around me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou hast said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not. Neither forsake me, O God, of my salvation. So, because of that, we're going to sing our last song that we're going to sing is I Need Thee Every Hour. I thought this was pretty appropriate. Let me see if I can find this. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Amen. Thank you.
Good morning. May God bless you. I need it. Every hour. If the ushers will come forward, we'll do our tithes and offerings. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the many blessings you give us, for spontaneous blessings and opportunities that just fall in our laps and we don't even know how they influenced about to come, except that we know it was the working of the Holy Spirit in the background behind us. So Lord, for those many blessings that you have orchestrated, we give back only a portion of what you have commanded in faithful service to you. Amen. How well those tablets work back there for a few minutes. We might get landed back up here again this Sunday. It's okay. So I have a praise I would like to share during our time of praise and prayer requests. We did a one-week follow-up with the cardiologist on JoJo in Portland, and then 24 hours later we got a phone call from OSU Vet Clinic saying, come down and get the pacemaker. And we're like, we don't know where the $8,000 are coming from, but we can trust the Lord for that and take off. And so family trip to OSU, Joey had her pacemaker, and she's back home resting, and Sarah and Dawson are home babying her right now. She's loving it. We're loving the trazodone because it makes her a little loopy and easier to keep down while that implant's in her right ventricle. So, but we were able to have that much quicker than we anticipated. We were thinking maybe a month out. So, uh-oh. So any other praises or prayer requests from the body today to share with each other? Judy. Right. I kind of know how scary that is. My firstborn was born a month early. And you don't know. You just don't know. There's so many uncertainties. So prayer. Tyler and McKenzie. and they're soon to be. Yeah. Grayson. That was the name. I know you said it last week, but I couldn't remember. So Addison's little brother to come, Grayson. Okay. All right. So. Yeah. Ted is here. It's been a long time since I've seen a couch in the narthex, but well worth it. Yep. And I thought, you know, he thought he was going to get off easy, but no, I gave him the offering bowls and I'm making him count it still. So he's got a job to do here with the body today. I kind of thought he could do it one-handed, so. Oh my. So Dan Kroom's granddaughter, niece. Am I right? So Dan Kroom's niece having a baby, who's coming early and will need immediate open heart surgery at birth. So prayer for two new souls, Tyler and Mackenzie's baby to come, Hesselgesser baby, and prayer for a Kroom family relative to come. Welcome to our world, you two little ones, and may the Holy Spirit guide every breath from the first one and the hands of the doctors to help. Anybody else have a request or praise they'd like to share? I'd like to say that I just went through my first week of summer school and I survived. And normally teachers teach for an hour to 70 minutes on one subject, and I teached for 4 hours, 4 days in a row, kind of college style. And I loved every minute of it because I love the kids I have in that class, and we're cooking and no one got burned and no one got fried and no one got baked, and it was a good week. The name of the class is Simple and Safe Cooking. So if they don't go home safe, the parents have to wonder how well I'm teaching, I guess. So, Teresa. Oh, man. And your brother's name is Roy. For Pastor Teresa's brother, Roy, recovering from COVID and the finances to meet all of the expenses that are going to come with that and just getting back to work. Yeah, absolutely. Debbie. So a lot of prayer and concern over Highway 6 and safety traveling, and Debbie wants us to pray over that highway. We can do it from here. The Holy Spirit will reach it. So let's put that in our thoughts today. Linda. Landon, do you want to come stand with me? Come stand with me, son. Come here. You're okay. So prayer for Nikki and Zed starting school this week. Father, Lord, you've heard the many needs, the many blessings, and you know what we need before we even ask. I'm hugging you now.
I want you to help me keep this arm, but won't stay.
Your head up. There you go. In just a moment, okay?
I wanted you to go.
I know. He's truly a blessing, guys. Lord, thank you for the blessing of children, whether they're here or in Arizona starting school. Lord, thank you for siblings, even if they've gone through COVID and you are in the process of healing them physically, financially, in every way. We trust you with that. And Lord God, for little dogs that are part of families that you give us for comfort, and to demonstrate your love in front of children. Lord, thank you for the redeeming work you've done in the hearts of everyone here. And you're doing right now in the heart of this little one right here. And for this family, Lord, that we can do it in. Lord, we ask for two children now to come from the Hesselgesser family, from the Kroom family, that your angels already are watching over, awaiting the arrival in this world of the souls to come and inhabit the bodies forever. So we lift up the physical bodies, Lord, that you heal them, prepare them, help them mature enough to survive this world, that we here can be witnesses to them, to the one after. Lord, we lift up our highways and byways to you. There's so much extra travel going on this summer, and sometimes there's people on those roads who don't drive those roads all the time and make poor decisions. They get impatient instead of knowing where it's safe. Holy Spirit, give us your patience. Give them your patience. Give them an extra guardian angel, even though they don't know it, to keep them in the lane they need to be in a little bit longer. Lord, I thank you for a near head-on collision that my family avoided this last weekend, coming back from OSU on a blind corner. Lord, I don't try to retire any guardian angels you give my family, but I praise you for them, watching over my church family and my own family too. Lord, now we look to our bigger national family, Lord. We ask that you, Holy Spirit, knock on the hearts of all of our political leaders right now. Our country so badly right now needs your guidance in our lives. We need to turn to you. Lord, let us be people who turn to you, follow you, maintain our stead with you, heal our land, help our leaders repent and turn to you, so that you will do as you've always promised, to heal our land. Because right now, the land is hurting. The land is dry. The land is on fire. The land doesn't have water. We know you bring your water on the just and unjust. Return it, Lord. Heal our land as only you can. Heal the hearts and minds of all of our leaders to know you, follow you, And Lord, let your guidance in your word be preeminent across this nation again. We pray for our leaders as you command us to do. Agree with them or not, we pray for your godly guidance to be given to them, as you graciously give it to us. And Lord, begin to show us again your vision, your guidance for what you have Gales Creek to do. Right now we're at such a crossroads that only we know this. If we are to move on, show us. And if we are to move on somewhere else, show us. Lord, please show us. Amen.
Well, good morning, saints. Thank God for his loving kindness and patience with us. And Pastor Ivan, we thank you for modeling just great parenting, because, you know, that's how God does us. We get impatient. We want God's attention right here, right now. And God is saying, baby, I got you. I got you. And it's so hard sometimes as adults. We think, oh, it's just the kids. Like, no, we act that very same way. Why do you think he is God, our Father? There's a reason for that. Why do you think he is God, our mother? Scripture describes him as the mother hen, right? Taking the chicks and getting them in line and protecting them. That's what God does for us. So thank you, Pastor Ivan. It was a very vulnerable moment, but he was showing us that's just what God does for us. Amen. He's so good and so loving and so kind, and he hears our prayers, he hears our concerns, and God is with us. Even though we may not feel like it, he is with us. And so today I want to get us started in a new series on spiritual disciplines, and I just have a question for you while we jump into the spiritual disciplines. Because today we're going to talk about the spiritual discipline of reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God. So our first one is scripture reading. But let me ask you this question. Do you exercise? Okay, don't raise your hands. Don't raise your hands. Do you exercise? I know with Rona, that's short for coronavirus, Rona has really done a number on us, right? So I can remember, I look back in time and I go, yeah, that was just disastrous. So right before Rona happened and they shut down all the gyms, I had signed up. And I was not taking one class, but I was taking two. I was like, I'm going to get in shape. I used to be in the military. I was a military chaplain. And I used to run several miles every day. And yeah, no, not so much anymore. So I had decided right before they shut the gyms down, then I was going to go back to exercising. And thanks to Rona, you may have had to adjust your exercise plan like I did. So you would think, oh, well, Pastor Teresa is going to go run outside. Yeah, no, I wasn't running outside. Yeah, no. I was just trying to work out, just get to the gym and lift some weights and do that kind of thing. But yeah, thanks to Rona, the gyms were closed. But why am I talking about physical exercise, you know, because gyms are they're back open, Sister Judy, but do you think I've made my way back yet? Okay, that's another topic. Okay. So I bring this up because I want to talk about spiritual exercise. We focus so much on our bodies because we're physical human beings, but God also wants us to pay attention to our spiritual being. How is your soul doing? So I want to get us to be thinking about studying the Word of God to get our spiritual discipline. And I want to share a quote from a section of an article that I read. I do a lot of reading, and so every now and again, you're going to hear me quote folks. So there's an article by Brandon Hilgeman, and this is what he says. There is very little meaning in physical exercises themselves. Jumping jacks or squats are just motions and muscle contractions. Their purpose is in what they produce, the fitness and strength. Likewise, spiritual exercises are a means to an end. Their meaning is not found in the practices themselves, like today, studying the Word of God, but in the strength and in the growth they create in the soul. He goes on to explain the spiritual disciplines will produce these things. An increase in one's ability, and listen to this list. This is what spiritual disciplines will produce in us. Delay gratification, receive insight, hear God's voice, or the inner voice that's inside of us. You know, that still, quiet voice. It'll help us make better decisions, remain centered and unaffected by external events, demonstrate moral courage, detach from distractions. We will also feel inner peace. We'll behave unselfishly, we'll act with practical wisdom, follow one's own course, endure hardship. Oof, I know. From spiritual disciplines, we will learn how to endure hardship. We'll forge good habits. And listen to this last one that he puts on the list. Conquer the worst parts of yourself to help you live a life that's less sinful and more holy. So that's the intent of spiritual disciplines. Not to have this checklist, well, I did this and now I'm on God's good list. No, it's not that at all. It's actually to get us in shape so that we are rightly reflecting who God is. And so the first spiritual discipline we're going to study is scripture reading, studying the Word of God. So over the next few weeks, we'll look at how we can achieve some of the outcomes that Pastor Brandon writes about. This week is how we can hear God's voice so we can make better decisions and remain centered. That's what the Word of God does for us. The main way to do this is to regularly read scripture. Somebody say, regularly read scripture. So it doesn't mean you break out the Bible once a year or on special occasions. You know, sometimes that's how we do church. We'll come when it's Easter. We'll come when it's Mother's Day. We'll come when it's Christmas time. If you know Jesus and you are in right relationship with God, it's not every once in a while. It's actual regular exercise, regularly reading the Word of God. And so our scripture today is taken from 2 Timothy. This is one of my favorite passages of scripture, actually. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. And as per usual, I'll be using the New Living Translation. Scripture reading. Studying God's Word. And the Word of God says this: all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Amen to the Word of God. So let's review this scripture. Paul is mentoring Timothy, and in this spiritual discipline series, we'll talk about godly relationships and mentoring. That's later on in the series. But you see here, Paul is an example of what it means to mentor. He says to Timothy in these verses that God's Word is crucial for the believer. Not like an option and maybe. No, it is vital for the believer. So Paul describes scripture as God-breathed or God-spirited. It means it has some life because it comes from God himself. And some translations say this, that it's God-spirited, showing that God breathed, literally breathed those words to life. I love that description. And so he's conveying to Timothy that all, A-L-L, of the Bible is purposefully set together by God's will. Spirit-inspired means that the body of scriptures that we have today is not by happenstance. It's not by mistake or chance. So now, unfortunately, the translations we have today are the source of quite the controversy, right? Go figure. So many things we like to argue about, right? And the scriptures is one of them. So there's a group of scholars who argue a couple of points. So one camp says only the original manuscripts in the original languages contain the words of God. Therefore, no translation or copy can carry over God's words perfectly. And then there's another camp who argue this. The original manuscripts are lost and gone forever. And therefore, we cannot know exactly what the words were. Now, let me put you at ease, because if you listen to those two camps, you're going to be like, well, then how can we trust the Bible? It doesn't matter the translation. King James, New Living, The Message, if it's in Spanish, Greek, Hebrew, Latin itself, the Word of God, guess what? Is the Word of God. And when Paul is talking to Timothy about Scripture, he's referencing the Old Testament, which was at the time copies of the original text. So everybody was using a copy, except for Moses himself. Okay? So what people heard and what they read in the synagogue was from a copy of the original. So all, I will say it again, A-L-L, all capital, copies are based on the original and therefore inspired by God, just as the very original was. So it's no different. All the copies, they still have God's word. And so please, don't walk out thinking, well, we can't trust the word of God because it's a copy of a copy of a copy. It's all good. It makes me wonder how you can trust in an almighty God and not think that the very same God who spoke the universe into existence would not be able to make sure that his word and his intentions were passed down in the copies. So what are you saying right now? That the God who healed your brother and your sister and you, he can't manage to make sure that the copies convey what he needs? Okay, yeah, let's stop that. Stop that. It's bad logic. Bad logic, okay? The scripture gives witness to itself. In Psalm 12, we read this. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. That's what the psalmist wrote thousands of years ago. Why? Because he trusted the God who created everything would continue to have his word, his will, live out from generation to generation. So be reminded that God is not like us. So if it was left up to human beings, yeah, it might be problematic, but it's not left up to human beings. God doesn't make mistakes. He does not falter. His aim is pure and true, just like the word of God says. He does not change, and thus his word does not change. He has the power and capability to ensure his word stands the test of time. So I submit to you that where the literal words may leave us confused or uncertain, because there's lots of scriptures that are problematic, we're like, okay, well, what does that mean, right? That's where the Holy Spirit steps in to fill the gap. Here's God's word and his expectations. Here's our understanding. The Holy Spirit goes in and builds that bridge. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to give us understanding and help us with what we don't understand about God. Amen? So the Spirit fills that gap. The Spirit not only gives witness to us that God is who he says he is, but reveals what the word of God is and how we can apply it to our lives. So don't worry about which translation you use, because your favorite might be King James. It might be the Revised Standard Version. That's all right. It might be in a different language altogether outside of English. It doesn't matter which translation you use, because the Holy Spirit will guide you to understanding. And that's what makes us brothers and sisters in Christ, because it is that Holy Spirit that lives and dwells in us that gives witness to who God is and who we are in Christ Jesus. And that's how we know how to interact with our fellow human beings. Amen. The Holy Spirit will guide us to understanding. And so now that you know that the Bible is truly God's word, we can move to the significance of scripture reading. Reading scripture is vital to the believer's life in the following ways. One, it teaches us the truth, just like the scripture said. Two, it corrects us when we're wrong. And three, it equips us to do godly work. We're following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ himself. And we can do that because of the word of God that equips us. So, we cannot know God's will and know the truth of who he is and who we are in him if we don't read scripture. Scripture reading helps us grow up in Christ and become spiritually mature. Now, how many of you completed high school? Lots of hands. Some of us may have even gone on to higher ed, college. Yeah, a little bit of college, right? Now, we're not going to ask people's ages, but I don't think you were 5 when you finished high school. No, you weren't 5. Were you 5 when you finished high school? Yes or no? No, you were older than 5, weren't you? Yeah. And so there's a certain maturity that happens with us physically. When we grow up, our body actually ages, and many of us get taller. I topped out at 5 feet, but that doesn't mean that I'm not mature, okay? It just means I'm 5 feet tall. Yeah, you know, right. I need some help reaching things from time to time. But my point is this. There's lots of us as believers in God who think, oh, okay, I went, Pastor, and I got saved, and now I know Jesus, and so I'm good to go. And then they sit down, and they never grow up in Christ. Actually, no, that's not okay. Because Jesus isn't expecting you to stay a kindergartner for 25 years, okay? If you're 25 and you're still in kindergarten, it's very problematic. Isn't that right, Pastor Ivan? It's very problematic. Yeah, because we shouldn't be at kindergarten grade when you're age 25. And so God is expecting you, just like we grow up physically age, he's expecting us to spiritually age and spiritually mature. And you can't do that if you're not really studying God's word to learn about the expectations. So let's talk about teaching the truth, because that's what God's word does. Scripture reading or studying the word of God allows us to know the truth about God, the truth about the devil, the truth about ourselves. Jesus himself taught his followers in John 8, verse 31 says this. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth," Jesus says, "and the truth will set you free." Amazing what Jesus says. He says it's only for those who actually believe. It's not for those people who don't care about God. It's not for those people who don't believe in Jesus. If you name the name of Christ, you are going to know his word, and it will teach you the truth, and the truth is what sets you free. So if you're still bound to something, you have to think, how mature am I in Christ? Where am I in my walk with God? Because he's given me access to freedom. So we need to grow a little bit more and experience that freedom. You cannot know Jesus' teachings unless you spend time reading scripture. He tells his followers that studying his teachings will lead them to discover truth, and that the truth leads to freedom. And we talked about freedom a few weeks ago, didn't we? Celebrating the freedom of our nation. Knowing God and understanding who we are is the truth. And here's a short version of the truth as Jesus taught. And as we read in the Old Testament, we learn God is holy and that we are created to be like him. It's our sin nature that separates us from God. And that's why we need Jesus, right? Jesus stands in the gap and he repairs our relationship with God. And so once we have that restored relationship with God, it is now our opportunity to do our best to live a life that reflects our restored relationship. We are set free to love God and to love humankind. And not only does the scripture reading lead us to the truth, but it gives us examples of how to practice what we learn. So scripture, for example, shows us even Jesus studied scripture. And because he did, he was able to overcome temptation and defeat the enemy of our soul on numerous occasions. So let me share a brief list of them. In Luke 2, we see Jesus astonishing the religious leaders with his knowledge as a boy. Remember, he goes into the synagogue. Why does this young person know scripture? Because he's been reading it. He's been meditating on it. He's been studying it. In Luke 4, when he encounters the enemy, he quotes scripture to rebuke the devil. Remember, we talked about that before. Later in the same chapter, when he declares his public ministry, Jesus quotes from Isaiah explaining what his ministry is all about. Again, how can he do that if he didn't study it and start memorizing it? Seeking understanding. And then when preaching to the crowds, he frequently referenced scriptures, like in Matthew 5. So he teaches about murder in Matthew 5. And then later on, Mark 10, you see him teaching about marriage. Because, you know, Jesus will say, well, you have heard this. And there's people trying to interpret pieces of scripture. And then he shows them a deeper meaning. He gives them what it truly means. But in order to be able to do that, to be like Jesus, we too have to study those same scriptures that Jesus studied. So it brings us the truth. The second benefit of scripture reading is correction. Now, a lot of us are not fans of correction. You know, we want things to go our way, but it can't always go our way. Our way is not always the right way, or it might be a good way, but it's not the best way, right? And so God is like saying, you know, in my word, if you study my word, you're going to understand correction and you'll be able to see when you're going down the wrong path. So let's consider the role of tradition, because tradition is a good example of it. We do things just because that's always the way it's been done, right? So tradition can be both a good thing because we celebrate certain holidays, right? We observe them. There's nothing wrong with that. But a tradition can also be a hindrance because you get caught up in just doing it because, well, that's the way people have always done it. So tradition for the sake of tradition is not necessarily good. And here's the reason. Because you're not really learning anything useful. You're simply repeating what our parents and grandparents modeled before us or our neighbors or whoever taught us. Tradition for the sake of traditions may make us lazy in our minds because we don't question, well, why are we observing a particular tradition? We're not necessarily practicing it with its true intent because we don't even understand why. Why are we putting this thing over here on this particular day? And when people can't answer you why, you may need to give up the tradition and go figure it out, go find out why. And then when you can own it, it's like, oh, this is why we do that. Yes. Like communion for us as believers. Are we just doing it because this is what we do on Second Sunday? Or are you doing it because there's real meaning and purpose for it? It is a reminder of the work of Christ. And not only of the work of Christ, but he then turned over the mantle to us to carry out his ministry. So when we partake of communion, that tradition, it's a reminder to us of what our job is. So you shouldn't just be, oh, we're going to go take communion because that's what we do on Second Sunday. There's a reason for it. So let's step away from traditions just for the sake of traditions. But actually know the reason why. Because when we understand we can better practice it. And when we're doing, we're not lining up with that, it can correct us like the Word of God does. That's what reading the Word is all about. So we can get caught up in our traditions and then be led astray because we're focusing on trying to impress the people around us. Well, Pastor Ivan takes communion on Second Sunday, so I'm going to do the same thing. In fact, I'm going to be first in line to. Like, really? You miss the whole point of communion if you're doing that. If you're trying to impress other people. It's not what we're supposed to be doing. So let's not do that. Let's rather do things because we want God's approval and we're following what God has taught us. This happened quite a bit in Jesus' time, by the way. It's nothing new to us, which is why we see him arguing with the leaders of that day. He wanted to correct their errors and have the masses unlearn bad habits. The Word of God teaches us what is just and what is wrong behavior and incorrect thinking. And some of those instances are when you hear Jesus saying, "You have heard it said," and then he would insert the teaching. And then he corrects that assumption and that practice with what should really be happening. There are also times when Jesus simply calls out the bad behavior. When he's teaching about how to pray is one example. So if you go to Matthew 6, in Matthew 6 you'll hear Jesus teaching about praying. He says, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray," listen to what he says, "go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to the Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on like the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered by merely repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them," Jesus says, "for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him." So he's teaching them a lot and teaching them how to pray. Lots of things that Jesus taught right there. Don't try to impress folk. Stop coming with your big wallet at offering time. "Oh, look how much money I'm putting in the offering." Like, no, because that's all the reward you're going to get. Yeah, somebody may notice, "Oh, that's a big wad of money they put in there." That's all the praise you're going to get. Because guess what? God's not patting you on the back. Because that doesn't impress him. He wants your soul. He wants to be in right relationship with you. He don't care about your money because he created it all. Doesn't impress him at all. He wants your heart. He wants to be in relationship with you. And if you read his word, it's going to give you correction to know when you're not lining up with what he's wanting from us and from you and from me. So I had to share this illustration I found. It's a story by James Boyce from Dallas Seminary. There was once a little boy who loved his mother's strawberry jam. She put it on the top shelf and told him not to get into it while she ran some errands. He resisted it for a while, like a child would, but finally he succumbed. He put the chair by the counter, climbed up on the chair so he could reach it, get his finger into the jam, and of course, the jam was oh so good. So he enjoyed his treat until he heard his mother coming, and then he quickly jumped down and was standing there trying to look innocent when she walked in. "Hi, Mommy." His mother said, "John, have you been in the strawberry jam?" "No." He looked her right in the eye and said, "No." Then she repeated, "John, have you been in the jam?" So then his eyes began to lower. No. So a third time she asked, and his eyes fell to her shoes. He's looking down at the floor at her shoes and still saying, "No, Mommy, I didn't have any of the strawberry jam." And so she asked a fourth time, "John, Have you been in the jam? And then his eyes fall down even lower, and he realizes on his shirt there's a spot of jam. Well, maybe just a little bit. That's how the repeated reading of God's word works in us. To bring us to apply the word of God to our own selves. The first time we read it through, we might say, well, this really applies to Ivan. I mean, he's got problems with his family. That applies to him. The second time we read it, we might say, well, you know what? This is good stuff for those people, other people at church, and for my neighbors. This is a good word for them. Maybe I should read this scripture with them. The third time we read it, you know what, Jesus, you are so good. Now, if I could just get my wife or my husband or my children to know this very same scripture, our family would be so much better. And then the fourth time we read it, we go, oh, snap, I got jam on my shirt. Maybe this scripture means something for me and not necessarily all the other people I'm trying to point out and make it apply to them. Ooh, okay. Thank you. And then that's when you have the opportunity to say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. The word reproves us. It says it's a mirror so we can see ourselves and be like, oh, wow. Even though I've messed up, God still loves me. Huh, imagine that. But guess what? His word also tells me that there's an opportunity for me to get better. Otherwise, I don't have to keep making the same mistake. Oh, thank you, God, for your word. So, my friends, the word can be used to help others. Okay, it's helpful to hold other people accountable. But remember, God's word is seeking to correct us first. We're the little boy with the jam on our shirts. The third benefit of scripture reading is equipping us for godly works. Remember I talked about, yes, we acknowledge the work of Christ in our, when we take communion. We also acknowledge that ministry that he has given to us. Now that he's gone and he is on high in glory, he's left us here on the planet. Not to be like, oh, yay, one day I'm going to go to heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No, he's actually expecting us to carry out that ministry. And it's equipping us for godly work. So go back to verse 17. God uses it, scripture, to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So the body of Christ must be prepared and know how to use spiritual tools so we can be successful in this world. And what do I mean by successful? Not the world's definition of successful, not the accumulating of prized possessions, the biggest house, the nicest car, that boat, that yacht, that so we can go out on the river and, you know, have our little parties with our friends. It's not that. It's not even lots of shoes in your closet that you don't get to wear because of Rona. Not any of those things. You know, it's actually to be successful in God, which means ultimately living in God's image and rightly reflecting who God is. Because that's God's ultimate goal. Because remember, way back in the beginning, he said, let us make man in our image. Why? Because he wants us to be just like him. So that's first and foremost. The word of God empowers us to rightly reflect his image. Amen for that. And I said it last time, God didn't do that with any of the creatures on the planet or in the universe. He didn't even say that about the stars or the ocean. Only us human beings that he made in his image. And why did he do that? so we could be like him, and that means acting like him and replicating his good works. These works are not for our own strength, but from scripture reading that further allows us to know God and to obey him. Knowing the word of God empowers us to live as a witness of his goodness and of his existence, because there are some of us on this planet who don't believe that God even exists. It's others who believe, well, yeah, there's a God, but does he even care? Does he care? And we know the answer to that. We have the truth. We know that God exists, and we know that God cares. So that is our ministry to the rest of the world, is to be witness to that. So let's review what we've talked about today. The idea of scripture reading is one way of practicing spiritual discipline so that we can grow up in Christ. Scripture reading teaches us, it corrects us, and it equips us. So just like we take time to physically exercise, we need to take time to regularly read scripture and study the word of God. We can't get there unless we are willing to do the time. And the book of Psalms and Proverbs often reference meditating on the word of God. Meditating on scripture means taking time to reflect on what you've read and what you've studied. You don't merely read a passage and then go about your day. To meditate means you read a passage and then you look for God to reveal the meaning in daily life. We pause and we think about what that passage or that particular scripture or maybe even one sentence, what that means, and we just let it ruminate in our minds. And we're asking God, okay, God, that really sticks out for me. What do you mean by that? So then he can take time to reveal it to us, what it means. That's what God wants from us. And what I'd like to remind us as we close is that there are many ways to practice scripture reading. And somebody say, thank God for modern technology. Amen. Because we don't have to rely on those copies of a copies, the manuscripts that are falling apart. There's other ways to access God's word. We can access the word of God by reading our physical copies, because I do have several Bibles at home. I have them in different languages. So you can have it in your preferred language. You can have it in your preferred translation, right? But you can also listen to it in audiobooks while you're washing the dishes. You can listen to the word of God. When you're walking, because I'm not going to run. I'm not there yet, Sister Judy. I'm not there yet. But I can get out and walk and read the word of God. We can listen to preachers on the radio and on TV. And nowadays, like, we have websites. We have Facebook and websites that people can go to listen to the word of God. Social media. You can subscribe to devotionals and daily word of the day, right? There's all those various ways to have access to God's word. So let's not be lazy. Let's not say, oh, I'll do it later. No, do it now. 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there. It's the word of God in your life, renewing you, reminding you of who God is and who you are to him. You are precious to him. Precious. So there's no excuse to not regularly practice scripture reading. And just like we eat our vegetables, take a vitamin, sleep, exercise for our physical body, we must care for our soul. Pray with me. Holy God, thank you. We thank you for your word. Thank you that it is true, and no matter the version or the language, it is your word. Hallelujah. Help us to build our spiritual muscle and regularly practice reading scripture, Lord, and give us understanding so that we can know who we are in you and better rightly reflect your image to this lost world. We thank you for it. In your holy name we pray. Amen and amen.
This is our closing song, Blessed Be the Tie. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above.
Bless you.
Amen.
All right, my brothers and sisters, go with God, go in peace and his love, and may his favor be with you this week to empower you to know who you are in Christ and let your light shine. Be blessed until we meet again.